Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I'm only coming on to get off because I'm out of here in a minute because Sean Scott's taking over tonight. How you doing, Sean Scott?
Good, Max Tucci. How you doing?
I'm good. You're like taking over the show tonight.
It is a Sean Scott straight up takeover. It's a takeover.
I'm like in Colorado, chilling, minding my business. Sean's like, yay. And you know what? I so am gagging that I'm not on the show tonight because there are so many hot topics to talk about. You're going to have like the best time.
I have a solid list of hot topics. I was freaking out when I was like, you know, researching what's going on in Hollywood. And I was like, okay, I'm so excited to talk tonight.
Forget Hollywood. What's going on in America with the whole gay marriage, with the whole Obamacare, with the whole everything. And then it's like the Confederate flag. You're going to be busy.
So
but anyway,
much.
I'm going to say goodbye in just a second. Got to say hi to Anthony listening from New York. He's tuning in. This guy, I'm going to post it later. He makes the most amazing crocodile bustiers. It's insane. So yeah. I'll have to post a picture of those. But anyway, Sean, have a great show tonight. I like give you my blessing. Do your
thing.
Take Max and Friends to the max. I trust you. I know you can do this. And you're going to have a blast. So have so much fun. Hey, guys, tweet us at Max Tucci. If you have any questions, I'm going to be listening to the show, Sean. So you know. Don't
the
make me call
so
in like
on.
Oprah.
Oh, God.
No, you're going to have fun. So on that note, I'm saying good night, good karma. Take life to the max this week, everyone. I love you all. I really do for listening, and Sean's going to do a great job. So have fun with him. Tweet him. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Facebook. Sean, before I let you go, tell everyone like about your amazing sportswear line, because that's just off the hook. You just did an amazing campaign with it, too, didn't you?
I did. Oh, my God. And we're doing another one July 18th, and it's going to be so sexy. I'm so excited. So,
oh, my God. And where can we find it?
LevitationLifestyle.com.
And aren't you like online right now with like a special promotion going on?
No, that ended. That ended. That sucks.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I know. Touchofmodern.com. We do flash sales on touchofmodern.com. So
and sold out. Boom.
Sold out. Done. Five
Over.
Days done.
Good yep. for you. All right. Well, do your thing. Have fun tonight. I'm excited to hear you, Yvonne, because you didn't really tell me who you're having on. So I'm going to be tuning in while I'm on the plane. You guys have fun tonight. I'm Max and Friends. Take life to the max this week. Love one another. I'm out of here. Have fun, Sean.
Ooh, all right.
Ronnie, take care of Sean, or he's going to take care of you. And play. I can't wait to hear your summer song. Right? It's
oh
going to be a good one.
It's going to be good. You're going to be feeling it. You're played over and over and over.
Play it over.
It's a summer anthem.
All right. Have fun. I'm out of here. Peace out.
Okay,
good night.
Bye.
Have fun. Take it
bye.
Over.
I got it. So what is up, Max and Friends? This is Sean Scott from Sean Scott Straight Up. Max, like he said, is busy at the airport tonight, so I am covering for him. Little background on me. My name is Sean Scott. I own Levitation Activewear. You can find it at levitationlifestyle.com. Tweet me, follow me on Instagram, at one Sean Scott, the number one. Tonight we're going to do hot topics. We're going to have a really crazy guest on. You'll never suspect it. It's crazy. I'm so excited. And I think that I found the song of the summer. So before we get into that, we will get into some hot topics. So Ronnie, take it away with our hot topics intro.
So you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything.
Okay, so I'm ready to tell you everything. Madonna just released, well, she released like a week ago, her new single, her new song, Bitch, I'm Madonna, on her Rebel album. And I just have to talk about how I feel about this for a second. So, I love Madonna. Well, actually, no, I don't love Madonna, I'm going to be honest. I think she's a little bit not in my generation, and so I don't really connect with her. Like, I feel like I connect with Lady Gaga, who is like the Madonna of our generation. But honestly, I think Madonna's a little past her prime. And I think on this new music video, Bitch, I'm Madonna, she's trying like way too hard. And people are saying that she's actually trying to compete with Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. I don't know if you've seen that music video, Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. But it's basically Taylor Swift and her best famous friends like Cardi Levine, Gigi Hadid. I can't remember a few others, but it's just I almost kind of feel like Taylor Swift is just showing off how like amazing she is and how fabulous her clique is. So Madonna released this video, Bitch, I'm Madonna, and it has I really feel like she's trying to compete with Taylor Swift, and I really feel like she's not pulling it off. So the music video starts out and then randomly flashes in scenes of Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, Beyonce, Rita Ora, and they just kind of lip sync or, you know, say the words, Bitch, I'm Madonna. And I really just got the feeling that Madonna's like manager or publicist or whatever, like called these people up and was like, can you please just like go in front of a green screen and like film you saying these words really quick and we'll put it in our video. Like, please, we'll pay you whatever. I really kind of feel like Madonna's trying to stay relevant, and I'm kind of over it, to be quite honest. And so I feel like she's trying to compete with Taylor Swift with her famous clique, but I kind of feel like Taylor Swift pulled it off way better. And also, everyone is saying that the font of the CD album is like the same as Taylor Swift's font for Bad Blood. And I mean, I that might be pushing it a little bit, but whatever, it is what it is. And also, it's just, I feel like Madonna kind of forgot how to lip sync. She's like pulling a Britney Spears, and it's just like, she thinks she's like so fabulous, she can just go in front of the camera and just, you know, just do whatever she wants. It was really off. I was like, bitch, I fucking make better dub smashes than Madonna. I'm not even getting paid, and I don't have these years of experience that Madonna has. So, I mean, good for you, Madonna, for just feeling like you can just get up there and do your thing and just be you. But I'm honestly kind of over you. So, I mean, what it is what it is. But I'd like to move on because I'm kind of over it. Mariah Carey, she has a new boyfriend. You know, Nick Jonas and her split a few months ago. So her new boyfriend is billionaire James Packer. I have no idea who that is, but I did a little bit of a research. And he is apparently the fourth richest person in Australia. So, I mean, good for you. I'm not exactly sure if it's an upgrade or a downgrade yet. But Google James Packer, okay, and tell me. It might be an upgrade in the money department, but I don't know if in the looks department. I don't know. They were spotted in Capri just kind of, you know, holding hands, doing their boyfriend-girlfriend thing. And I was like, okay, like he's not that bad. He has like sunglasses on. They're looking very like fashionable and like rich. And then we found a picture of them where he is not wearing sunglasses, and it's like a whole new story. And we all know everyone looks better with sunglasses. That's why I wear them. But he was okay. So apparently, allegedly, Mariah Carey was set up with James Packer by her good friend Brett Ratner, who I also have never heard of. But apparently, he's like a huge party boy. So, I mean, that's really promising. And they have. At first I was like, okay, like James Packer, he has a few marriages under his belt, of course, all to models. And, you know, he has like three kids and he's like, I don't remember his age. He's like 49 or something like that. So, I mean, all right, there's like some longevity in this relationship. He has some experience. He knows what's up. He can like handle Mariah Carey. If you can handle three kids, I think you can handle Mariah Carey. It's still going to be a struggle, but I think you can handle Mariah Carey. But then I was like, oh, like Brett Ratner, party boy. Like if he's your good friend and you have three kids and you're kicking it with Brett Ratner. Yeah, I'm not really sure how that's going to work out. But I mean, good for Mariah for doing her thing. She's just moving right along from that Nick, whatever his last name is. He does America's Got Talent. So good for her. And then, okay. This is what I was most interested about. I found out a few weeks ago, but it's been confirmed that Brandi Glanville has been fired from Beverly Hills Housewives. And so I don't know if you watch the Housewives franchises, but it's on Bravo, and they basically film usually wealthy women living their lives in like a high profile city like Beverly Hills, New York City, or high profile town or city like Beverly Hills, New York City, Atlanta. So Brandi Glanville, she was married to Eddie, whatever his last name is, who divorced her for Pamela, not Pamela. Oh my God, I can't even remember the name. But anyway, she's a Beverly Hills housewife, and she's really been stirring up the pot lately. I was really feeling Brandi Glanville, and then this season she was getting like really out of hand. She's always been known to stir the pot and to, you know, bring the drama to the show. But this year she was throwing wine on Eileen Davidson. You know, she was screaming, cussing. She slapped Lisa Vanderpump. You do not slap Lisa Vanderpump, all right? You don't fuck with that. You do not. And so apparently, allegedly, the housewives no longer wanted to film with her. And those powerful housewives, you know, they get what they want. And apparently Bravo kicked her ass off the show. But at the same time, I was like, since when do housewives get to decide who they want to film with? Like, they sign these like novel long contracts. Like, I think Bravo, like, I kind of feel like Bravo's like the housewives bitch at this point. Like, it used to be Bravo's in charge, but now it's what the housewives want, the housewives get. And I just don't feel like it should be that way. Like, Bravo gave you this opportunity, you do what Bravo says. If Bravo says you film with Brandi Glanville, you film with Brandi Glanville and you just power through it, you know? Sometimes you just have to put up with those kinds of people. So I'm a little interested to see what the next season will be like, because Brandi, I do feel like, brought the drama, and she had a pretty strong like storyline and kind of stirred the pot, which Housewives is sort of – it's not all about, but you know, you need drama for ratings. And also Claudia Jordan on Atlanta Housewives was fired allegedly because NeNe Leakes did not like her. And NeNe, everyone – anyone who is a Housewives fan knows that NeNe Leakes like runs Atlanta Housewives. And so if you're not on NeNe Leakes' good side, then you can say goodbye to your career on Atlanta Housewives. So unfortunately, I think that's what Claudia Jordan had to do. So, and other news, gay marriage was legalized. Woo! All 50 states. So snaps. I don't know if you can hear it. Snaps for the government. Good for that. And what else is happening this week? Yay! I'm getting tweets, lots of yays. I'm really excited because my friends are in town, and we went to the – I live in L.A. and I live like near West Hollywood. And we went to the Abbey last night, and it was – popping. It was crazy last night, and my friend Brian is in town, and we were trying so hard to hook him up. It was like the funniest thing. But anyways, okay, so those were the hot topics for this week. I'm over talking about rich, famous people, and I've convinced myself that I have found the anthem of the summer, and that anthem is Hold My Hand by Jesse Glenn. I want everyone to take a listen tonight, and you're just gonna feel it, and I'm just so excited to share it with you. I love it. So, Ronnie, let's go ahead and share Hold My Hand by Jesse Glenn with the world. Summer anthem. You heard it here first on Max and Friends.
Standing in a crowded room and I can't see your face. Put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. In my mind, I'm running around a cold and empty space. Just put your arms around me, tell me everything's okay. Break my bones, but you won't see me. I don't.
What's up, Max and friends? This is Sean Scott. Sean Scott Straight Up. Ronnie, can we play my intro, por favor?
It's Sean Scott Straight Up on Max and Friends. Max and Friends.
I love that. I never get sick of it. So if you're just tuning in, this is Sean Scott on LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends. I am taking over for Max Tucci tonight. He is jet-setting around the country, doing his thing, living his life. We just talked Hot Topics, and I have an amazing guest on tonight. I'm so excited.
What do you think?
I have Tom Fitzpatrick, and you'll never guess. Tom, are you there?
I am still here.
Hi, Tom.
I couldn't be more here if you tried. Hi.
Can you please tell everyone, like, your most, like, what is so current with you right now? Where can we see you? Go for it.
What is so current with me is that I am probably America's favorite nightmare. I am really proud of this. I play the Black Bride in Insidious 2 and Insidious 3.
Yes.
Yeah, my friend. Yeah, Insidious 3 is in theater this summer, and I was the same character a couple of years ago for Insidious 2. I am the demonic force of evil. I am evil incarnate. So
that's
what I'm doing this summer. What are you doing?
What am I not doing? I'm doing like so much.
I know. Good for you.
But it's not about me. It's about you. But I'm
like. It's about me, yes.
When you talk about America's like worst nightmare, like you really are. When I first saw Insidious, you were not in the first Insidious. You started in the second. No,
I was not in Insidious. A fine actor named Philip Friedman played the role.
Okay.
I don't know why he did not do number two. I think he's a busy actor. He probably had something else to do. So I came in, and then I did it in for number two, and they did me the honor of asking me back for number three. So here I am in two of them. It's really fun.
Okay, well, I have yet to see Insidious 3, but I definitely saw Insidious 1 and 2. And Insidious 2, you were in it so much. And
I had a good part in that, yeah.
I had
more screen time probably in 2 than in 3, but that's okay. I think I make a bigger impression in 3. But really? I had nice time in 2, yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, in number 2, they give you the backstory of my character. He was a human being, or it was a human being. It was this poor little man who was, as a kid, we learn in a flashback, he was terrorized by the world's mother from hell. She yelled at him all the while. She was totally vicious to him. She cross-dressed him as a kid. She kept him dressed as a little girl, locked in a bedroom with dollies and dollhouses.
I know,
we see all this. And so he grew up messed up, as you might imagine. And then he winds up in the hospital because he tried to castrate himself one night. Don't do this at home.
No.
It was either a do-it-yourself sex change or he was trying to commit suicide. God, love you. Anyway, he's lying in a coma in the hospital, and in yet another flashback, young Josh comes through, which is the character played by Patrick Wilson in the grown-up section, the grown-up version, the father of the family. He comes through being brought in by mommy to see what mommy does. She's a nurse on the ward, and he happens to be standing by this comatose old man's bed, and he's kind of, you know, looking at the medicines and stuff like that. The old man sits bolt upright, screams at the top of his lungs, grabs the poor kid, and it takes like four guys to get the kid separated from Mr. Crane, and that was that child's traumatic day. The next scene is mom going down in the elevator after a traumatic shift that night, and who gets in the elevator but me, old Mr. Parker Crane, the dude who was just trying to strangle her kid.
Yeah.
And she makes nice, she tries to talk polite and everything, and finally we get to the first floor one way or another, and Mr. Crane, kind of the doors open, he wafts out and down the hall. Whoosh, and she goes to the charge nurse to check out, and she says, wow, amazing about Mr. Crane, huh? What do you mean? Well, he was comatose yesterday, and I just rode down in the elevator with him. And she says, you rode down in the elevator with him? Yeah. And then the lady says, honey,
Mr. Crane died last night.
Ooh, oh, my spooky. God.
So that was a ghost she was in the elevator with. And the next scene cuts to Parker Crane's, I suppose, ghost in his really awful old bedroom in some hideous old house. We saw it, we shot it over in West Adams. He's in a bedroom, and he's putting on his black bride drag. He does the makeup and the lipstick and the eyelashes and the wig and the black gown and the veil. And then he picks up a saw, and he bears down on this poor little girl he's got trussed up over in the corner, and he's going to cut her head off, thank you. So that's Parker Crane. And that is the that's a picture of the black bride that people get. Okay. It's the only picture they get of her. And then, you know, it goes on from there. Now we know who we're dealing with, and we never see that much of her again, really, in further shots of her. But that's who she is.
Oh, my God.
She's a scary wench. She's scary.
Seriously. No, when I first saw that, when I was in Insidious 1 and 2, I haven't seen Insidious 3 yet, but I was like, oh, my God. I was freaking out. I was so scared.
Yeah, it's pretty
scary.
Did
a good job.
It really, something about it. Well, not me. We got to keep that firmly in mind. I had the honor of being asked to work the premiere up at the Chinese Theater a couple of weeks ago. They garbed me. They got me all in the gown and the makeup and everything and took me across the street. When the audience saw that character, they saw me in the drag, they went crazy. People love. I guess. She's a new horror film icon, and I did not realize it until I saw the crowd reaction to her. She's right up there with Freddy Krueger and Dracula and Frankenstein, and I'm in the costume. But it's not me. We have to keep that firmly in mind. It is the work of James Wan and Lee Whannell, who write it and direct it, and the costumer, Kristen Burke, and the makeup lady, who's a genius, Eleanor Sabadukia. She's always done the makeup for every day we work, Eleanor did the makeup. So it's a great work of art by a whole bunch of motion picture craftsmen. I keep that firmly in mind. And I'm just the guy in the Mickey Mouse costume this time around, you know. So that's the story on that. But I'm really honored. I love
teamwork makes the dream work.
The black work. Huh?
Teamwork really makes the dream work. It was a good
effort
from all of you guys. You know.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful, it's a great set and wonderful, talented people, and it's such fun to work on. Golly, I love it. So
yeah.
I had a good time.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's so exciting.
Thanks.
Okay, I have more questions for you with this Insidious role, but I just wanted to rewind really quick and go over, I know you have an opinion about these hot topics we just covered. I just talked about Madonna and her new single, Bitch, I'm Madonna. And honestly,
what does that mean? Bitch, I'm Madonna. What does that mean? I'm old, so you have to explain these things.
Okay, well, obviously, it's a cry for, like, some attention. Like, she's like, bitch, I'm Madonna. Like, this is Madonna. Like, don't forget about me. I really honestly feel she's past her prime. And I'm not saying give it up, but, like, you know, take a seat. Let the others do it.
Oh, it's a bitch. She's saying, like, bitch, comma, I'm Madonna. She's explaining herself to a get over yourself.
I know. Move on. So, like, in this new music video she released, she had, like, as many celebrities as she could, like, make a little, you know, her managers just called up these celebrities and was like, can you go stand in front of a green screen and just lip sync? Bitch, I'm Madonna. Please, we'll do any. We'll pay you however much.
Please. We'll pay you any amount of money.
Exactly. I just feel as if it was a struggle to be stay relevant, you know.
That's really interesting. I am absolutely nobody. I am a Hollywood day player, like, you know, most of the population of Los Angeles. I'm grateful for the work I get. But I do watch, like, people who achieved great fame. There's a really delicate balance to being dignified when it's over. Kid, it is over. Now you've got, you know, you're in the prime of your life. You're 60 years old. You're richer than God. You have fame. Yeah, taboo. But you maybe can't go on doing the same thing. You can't get the bloody face lifted again. You cannot try to be 35. You ain't going to fool nobody. Why do they do that? I think there's something really to be said for being old and being an example. Here's a great quote for you, my child. I read this, and I think it's beautiful. Get this. Eleanor Roosevelt a very plain woman. Let's face it. Eleanor Roosevelt said, beautiful young people are accidents of nature, but beautiful old people are works of art. Wow. And I think that's a really cool thing to hear. You got to be beautiful when you're old, but you got to, you know, be with nature. And, you know, goodness me, maybe she could do something as, you know, look at Ella Fitzgerald. She got old and stout, and baby, you listened to Ella when she sang. Thank you. You know, if you're a great artist and you have skills, it doesn't matter what body you're in.
Exactly.
And expand your horizons. Do new shit. So what if it fails? You know, do new stuff. Don't do the same old crap. Don't keep trying to look the same. Show us how to get old.
Because exactly.
Nobody gets out alive, baby. You know, I mean, it's
exactly.
a sad fact of life. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, show us how to be old beautifully. That's what I say the movie star should do. Who do I admire? Meryl Streep.
Oh,
Catherine Deneuve.
Love Meryl Streep.
Who's a guy that we admire? That's just, you know, a lot more guys get old and don't bother about, you know, the makeup and the facelifts and the hairpiece and stuff like that. But
true.
Ladies, you know, well, it's because women have so much harder a road. They have so much more pressure right from the moment they come out of the gate. That, you know, it's hard to be a woman in Hollywood.
It is.
So they are conditioned to think that they've got to keep the looks up forever. You know, God bless.
And this music video.
I was going to slag on Jane Fonda, but probably I won't.
She's an icon, you know, whatever. Jane Fonda.
She's an icon, you know. But think how cool she'd look if she was a 79-year-old lady still out there strutting her stuff. Why does she
exactly.
have to be this monument of plastic surgery art? She's
exactly.
Louise, girl.
I know, and like,
do it.
Exactly. And like in this music video, you know, Madonna is still making out with these like 25-year-olds, like wearing these like leotards. I'm like, really? Like,
this is a little tasteless. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it's really time. If you're like a true artist, you can, you know, move on and do things that are like within. It's like
find
so embarrassing.
Stuff that, yeah, that fits your age. Jeez.
Exactly.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what you're talking about. But
well,
I kind of have
up.
A picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's been going that way for like 15 years.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah.
And, you know,
no, it's everybody's choice, but I think it'd be cool to give everybody an example of how it is to be like old and cool and beautiful, not like, you know, some. Preserved
exactly.
thing. I can still do the same things I could do when I'm 25.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Give
do it in your living room, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Give women something to look up to when they're like your age, you know. Don't make them think
you
that
said it. Exactly.
Yeah. Their life.
And what about all the folks who cannot afford $50,000 worth of work? The people that have to that are stuck in the bodies that they're in. Give them something to give them hope and an icon to look up to. No,
absolutely.
You know, if you're a star, you have a great responsibility. A whole bunch of people.
I agree.
Put their dreams into you, and you have to be responsible for that. I think
totally.
But that's just me. What do I know?
Totally. What do we know? Yeah. We're not Madonna.
What
whatever.
Do we know? Jeez Louise, we're nobody. But
we're nobody.
You know, good luck to her. Mazel tov.
The Black Bride on Insidious, so that's something.
Yeah, I did that. I'm famous for the character I have played for one summer. That's really nice. And what else? You do your thing. Do your host thing. Tell me what you're going to talk about.
Bye. Do my thing. I just want to cover Mariah Carey and Housewives real quick. Just give me your – just tell me real quick. Mariah Carey has a new boyfriend. He's a billionaire. He's the fourth richest person in Australia. He has kids, a few marriages. How do you feel?
Well, I think I tell you, the only time I know she's famous and I know she's a singer, yada, yada. And I heard Kevin Hart mention her once in some dialogue on Real Husbands. But other than that, I know nothing about the lady. Whatever, you know. Does she like the guy? Is he you know, is he
you're right.
good in the kip? I don't know. Is he fun? Who knows, you know?
I think there has to be something past the looks because, let me tell you, I Googled a picture of him and she can't be with him for the looks, I have to say.
Maybe she likes him. Maybe he's a nice guy. Who can say? And he just happens to be rich. I don't know. I don't. Yeah, all the stuff that happens in the upper echelons of society of, like, rich people hooking up with rich people, and that's, like, the only option they have is another rich person. I just kind of stand back and look at it and think, well, that's nice. How are they going to spend all that money, you know? It'd be nice to have some of that money to spend, I guess. I don't know. And then after all the hoopla and everything, you're alone in the room with this person. What's it going to be like then, you know?
Exactly.
That's kind of the way I look at it.
But, it might be not know, that exciting because just after what I saw from Googling.
Yeah, you never know. It could wear off.
Well, we'll see how that...
We'll see how long it lasts. Exactly.
We really will.
You know, when I was a kid your age, the big thing was to just, like, take bets practically on how long Elizabeth Taylor's marriages were going to last.
Oh,
that was always fun. Oh, this one, no. A truck driver, 2 weeks. I give her 2 weeks, yeah.
I should start that up. That's funny.
yeah.
Okay, do you watch Real Housewives by any chance? The Real Housewives franchise?
I don't know. The show that Real Housewives is spoofing?
Exactly.
No.
Okay.
I'm kind of media blind. I don't watch a lot of TV. I really don't like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's kind of good. That's the opposite of me, though. I have to say I'm, like, obsessed with, like, pop culture and, like, TV. But it's good.
Well, of course, everybody is. yeah, you can live your life without stuffing your head full of a bunch of crap from television. You really can.
You can.
Yeah, but you have to do it because that's your job. Besides, you like it, and if you like it, great. You know.
Exactly.
No, I've never
exactly.
watched Real Housewives. Is it obnoxious?
Okay,
it must be obnoxious.
I mean, I love it. Like, I'm obsessed with it. I'll record every episode. I could watch the episodes. it's embarrassing, but some of the episodes I, like, know, like, the words to, like, as if it was, like, scripted. I could, like, say the words. It's, like, embarrassing.
Wow. But it's people but, supposedly living their own lives. Is that right? It's a reality show?
Yeah, it's like a reality show. Like, fairly wealthy women with some kind of, like, socialite status and a...
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kind of city or town and their lives with a clique that Bravo puts together and, you know.
Whatever. Oh, it's not like Real Husbands or Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? I thought it was Beverly Hills.
Yeah, they have Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of New York City, Real Housewives of Atlanta, New Jersey. They have Miami. Yeah. So, anyways, whatever. We'll forget about it. It's really...
I'm sorry. Who gives a hoot about... Housewives, actually, even if they're rich. What do they talk about? What are their problems? What are the shows like?
They just, like, go to lunch a lot and, like, eat and, like, spend lots of money on food and, like, go to nice events and, like, then every now and then they, like, throw wine on each other and, like, slap each other and you're like, and then
and then the rest of the show you're just wishing
that you married rich, you know.
How interesting. Well,
interesting.
You know, I think the writers of Real Husbands, Real Husbands of Hollywood, I think they really probably goof on all those white folks
carrying on like those.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I think it's definitely like a funny spoof. But so, for those who don't know, you play on Real Husbands of Hollywood, correct?
I am in Real Husbands of Hollywood. I play Coleman, Kevin Hart's butler. I have been given to Mr. Hart. His friend Dwayne is having marital problems and been thrown out by his wife, basically. So he wants to crash at Kevin Hart's bachelor pad, and Kevin doesn't want this. Thank you, it's his bachelor pad. So in order to ingratiate himself with Kevin, Dwayne Martin staffs the bachelor pad. He gets in this beautiful young lady chef and a beautiful young lady script reader and two beautiful young lady masseuses and a beautiful young lady accountant and an old white butler, me. The first scene, I wake Kevin Hart up to serve him coffee and orange juice, and Kevin just freaks out. He's just like, where's the massage lady's names are Peaches and Cream. He says, where's Peaches and Cream? And I say, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. They had an appointment. They said they would be back at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And he kind of takes that in and he yells, Dwayne, there's an old white man in my room. And on from there, it's such fun to work with him. God, he's a riot. He is just a riot.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, what's it like to work with Kevin Hart? I feel like he's, like, so much... there's, like, so much energy bottled up in that tiny little body.
Oh,
like,
my friend, I am 2 feet away. I'm 2 feet away from the funniest man in America, and I have to keep a straight face. That's the hardest thing about that job, is not laughing. And he's wonderful. You never know where he's going to go. There's a script, yeah. And you say your lines, because that's your job, and he will go off. You'll just see him go off, and you'll see him go down the road, and there goes Kevin Hart, and you kind of stand there, and you wait, and you kind of wait until... I'm learning now that you have to wait until you can see him running out of comic gas. Just he's running out of ideas, and then you toss in the next scripted line. Bam, he's right back where he should be in the script, and you go on for a while, and then something else will strike him as funny, and he's off again, and it's just riotously funny. It's the hardest thing is keeping from laughing, and the best thing is when they call cut, and you can just bend over double and wet your pants laughing. He's so funny. So I love every minute of it. I can't believe they pay me for it. It's so funny. Really great.
That's
and
so
it's
funny.
The nicest set and the sweetest people. I had a wonderful time. I did 2 episodes the first season I worked, and they are airing currently. And then I shot 4 episodes.
Where are they airing?
They're on BET. The numbers for all those people with all those modern devices are number 309, which is called The Fight to Save Dwayne, and episode number 312, which is called One in a Bazillion. And they are very, very funny. And then I'll be on a lot more in the season, which will start airing this coming fall. I did 4 episodes, and they'll be on. And
so what season is airing right now?
I guess it's the third season, because that's the number at the top of all the episodes. I think it's the third season, fourth season will be starting in the fall. They shoot about 12 to 14 episodes only every fall, because that's all you can get Kevin Hart for. He's a major motion picture star.
He's
a huge star, you know. So,
did you watch him with Justin Bieber roast?
No. Was he hilarious?
I was cracking up. It was so funny. A little inappropriate.
Turn that man loose. You cannot stop him. It's hilarious.
Very hilarious.
I love him. And he's a total star, and he's a nice man, but he's a total pro. I like it when you work with him, because you don't have to talk to him. It's really hard to be like a no-name player, you know, like the day player, the newbie, and to have to, like, make dumbass small talk with the star.
Yeah.
No problem, Mr. Hart. He comes on the set, he shakes your hand, he gives you a nice, wonderful hug. Go to work. The minute cut is yelled, he's on not one cell phone, but 2 cell phones, going simultaneously, doing whatever Kevin Hart does, and he's completely busy until they say, okay, place it. And sometimes they have to, you know, get him up out of his cell phones.
Yeah.
And then he's right there. He's very present. You shoot the scene, end of the day, handshake, big old body hug, and he's out of there. I love that. I don't want to be bothered with talking to a star. He's the coolest man in show business. He really is. Wonderful guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really awesome.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah,
okay, so I just have a question. I want to flip back to the most recent film you're in, Insidious 2 and 3.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, what was the casting like for The Black Bride? Did it say they wanted a man for a Black Bride? You know how you get the outline for how to dress, how to... what they're looking for. Did it say they please send us a male?
No, they didn't. No, I remember that. The casting was for the role of Parker Crane, which of course is the human embodiment, at least for a while, of the Black Bride.
Yeah.
It was for the role of Parker Crane, and I went in and there was a beautifully written scene that I read. It was the elevator scene, which wound up on the day of shooting. I find out all the dialogue is gone, thank you. But it was a wonderful scene where the lady says, you know, I want to apologize for my little boy bothering you today. And my character says, oh, no, it's all right. It was no bother at all. I remember when I was a little boy, and I was always curious. It was fine. I'm kind of wired up tight sometimes, and I'm sorry if I scared the kid. You know, like scared the kid. You grabbed him and strangled him. Yeah, you scared. But she doesn't say that. But anyway, he says, I'm sorry if I scared the kid. And she said, oh, no, he's all right. He's a very resilient little boy. And then I go over into, like, this really weird place. I said, yes, yes, he's having a wonderful childhood. You're giving him wonderful childhood. I wish I could have been like him and have that wonderful bedroom he has with all of those, his finger paintings on the wall. Dee, 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 dee. How does he know that? How does he know that? He doesn't know that there's these finger paintings on the wall, and he talks more about the kid's bedroom, and that's when you realize, oh, something's going on here. Well, none of that dialogue wound up in the picture, but that's what I auditioned with. And
yeah.
I did not know, I had not seen Insidious 1, so I didn't know anything about The Black Bride. And
did you dress up as the Black Bride for the casting? Because I know casting
directors.
No. No, okay.
Sometimes,
okay.
They like, I did not know I had to be the Black Bride. I just kind of... Like an old coot like Parker Crane. I didn't wear my hospital pajamas, you know, in my bathroom. That's what I, sometimes I dress up for parts, but not for Parker Crane, because I thought, well, he's just an older, ordinary old guy.
Yeah.
I didn't, and then I guess when I got the script,
you're like, oh, I have to dress up as like an old dead bride.
What does that mean? What is this Black Bride thing? I didn't know anything. In fact, I've not seen Insidious 1 yet. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. I saw it, and it scared the shit out of me. I swear to God.
What is the bride doing that? What is the character doing that?
Okay, so Black Bride is only in there for a few seconds, but the guy who goes into the afterlife, you know, whatever. So the guy who, it's been a while, but he goes into the afterlife. You just get a few quick glimpses of the Black Bride. And Max Tucci just tweeted me a picture of the Black Bride. It's you. It's so scary.
That's scary, baby. You know what I mean?
Really,
you know, Dark Valley. I'm like, when I got my makeup on.
Oh, God.
I
don't want to look
he's
at
scary.
It.
He's scary.
And then in second video, you possess the guy. Or is that in the first
video? Possess.
You possess him.
I don't know what I did in the first, but in the second, it becomes apparent that I have possessed the lead of the picture, the dad, Patrick Wilson. I possessed him when he was a little boy, and I'm the cause of all of the carrying on that's been going on in their house all along, because Daddy is the little girl has a line, I think. She says, Mom, what's wrong with Daddy? Well, he's possessed, darling.
I know. Well, a Black Bride has actually possessed him, you know.
Don't worry about it, honey. He's possessed by a cross-dressing ghost serial killer. Nothing to worry about.
Who is also a husband on House Husbands of Hollywood.
That's right. No,
or
he's a butler.
A butler.
That's what's so cool. Yeah.
We'll just call the ghost hunters. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've seen 3 yet, but it's really cool because it gives Lynn Shay, that plays the ghost hunter, she plays Elise, the exorcist, and she's the chick who keeps going into the further. She's a wonderful, wonderful character actress. She gets some kind of an award this year for being the queen of horror or something. Anyway, she's a fine actress. She's been in pictures forever, and she really gets to shine in this movie. It's a lot. It's mostly focused on her character, and it's got some really emotional stuff, and she kills it, man. She knocks it out of the park. She's a wonderful actress.
Oh, my God.
There's a little girl that the picture is about, besides Elise. Her name is Stephanie Scott, the wonderful actress as well. Great, great, great actors in it. It's a beautiful ensemble. Dermot Mulroney plays her dad. He's just terrific.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Go see Insidious 3,
absolutely. So when is it? It's not out yet, correct? Or is it?
Oh, yeah, it's out.
It's out.
In general, it's all over. Yeah, go see
it's
Why
like
I Am Proud
film.
To Be America's Favorite Nightmare. What?
Yes. You're like in everyone's dreams. You're like the reason why people don't want to turn the lights off when they go to bed.
I apparently push somebody's buzzers. I don't know if it's women.
You're scary.
Predominantly or men.
You're scary. I love a good horror film, and, I can tell when the horror film is like, cheesy, whatever, that can never happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheesy horror out there.
But with
James Wan and Lee Whannell know how to do it. They are masters of the horror craft. They really are. Because they don't give you too much. They're really, they just dole it out very, very carefully. And you get kind of lulled into thinking, oh, this is an easy one. This is just nice. And then, bam, they'll get you, man. They're very skilled at what they do.
They have that old school music going, too. And it just, like, jumps out at you. And you're like, you jump in your seat. It's so scary. It just, like, shakes you.
Well, I think, I'm really proud of this, because I think that I don't know. I guess it shows up maybe under the credits at the end. But there is a cover of the old song, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. You know, Tiny Tim did it in the 60s, and it goes back to like 1929 to the early talking pictures.
Yeah.
Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Well, this group called Cherry Glazer has made a cover of it, and their vocalist has got the most fabulous voice, and she just kind of does it straight, but with kind of a real kind of bizarre twist.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And they played it under the credits at the end. And the night of the premiere, they were going to have an after party afterwards, mm-hmm. and they wanted to reveal the Black Bride. They wanted to have a big burst of fog and all of a sudden have me turn up in my costume in a spotlight. And that was great. And they were going to be playing Tiptoe Through the Tulips under it. And they sent me the music the night before just to get used to it. And I got possessed. I said, you guys, could I please lip sync to this? And I practiced like a maniac. I haven't lip synced since high school in the 1950s. But I practiced all night long to lip sync that song. And I did it for the guys. And they let me do it for the after party. And people fell out to see the Black Bride singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips. It was apparently riotous. I think it was pretty funny.
Very
I was proud of that.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's good for you. You're doing in Hollywood. That's
well,
exciting.
I'm in Hollywood. Yeah. I'm trying to
Tom
do Hollywood.
Tom Fitzpatrick.
It's funny. They somebody videoed it, of course, but they're really sitting on it. It's not going viral anywhere. maybe because I'm so lousy.
I'll start it. I'll make it viral. Don't worry. I'll be tweeting that out. Everyone check it out.
See if you can find it. Yeah, I would love to see that thing.
Tell
maybe
us.
They're afraid of violates of the Black Bride's image.
Okay, so
that.
Tell us where we can find you. Are you on social media?
Oh, well, I'm on Facebook. It's so cute. I get all these friend requests from horror movie fans that have seen Insidious, and they track me down and they want pictures. I love it, baby. I'm like Joan Crawford. You ask me for a picture, baby, you're going to get a picture, which is really cute. My manager tried to put me on Twitter, but I'm kind of too old for Twitter. I'm going to try
hard.
Again.
It's hard. I'm
it's
young,
the,
and I'm trying.
What
I,
is the
I can't
point
get
it. Of that?
I don't know.
What is the point of that peculiar social media thing, you know?
You gotta get on it. You gotta be like Madonna and try to stay relevant, you know?
Well, the president's on it, but I'm sure he has somebody.
Exactly.
I understand. People hire people to do it for them.
Exactly. It's a full-time job, I tell you. I have a clothing company, and you're supposed to be social media-ing like 3 times a day, and I'm like, I can barely do it like once a week, so like bear with me.
It's difficult. Well, what's your age, for sake? You're in your 20s, right?
I'm 20, and it's hard for me. You know.
You're a kid. How wonderful. Well, I'm 73, my friend. So it's amazing that I'm walking, you know, much less being on social media. But anyway, Facebook is the way to go. I'm on Facebook, and I'll soon have a Twitter presence. Me and my manager will get me present on Twitter. So you can track me down there. I would love that.
Exactly.
And they can find all of my group is on IMDb, too. They can look me up there.
Perfect. So everyone, thank you so much, Tom Fitzpatrick, for coming on LA
thank
Talk
you for having me.
Friends and putting up with Sean Scott Straight Up and all of my, you know.
You were wonderful. I had a great time. Was I okay? Did you like what I did?
Oh my gosh, you're amazing. You're so fun.
Good.
We're going to have you back. I'd love
it. Oh, okay, Scott. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. Everyone, find Tom Fitzpatrick on Facebook, Twitter. See him in Insidious 2 and 3. And find me at One Sean Scott on Twitter and on Instagram, as well as Max Tucci. I'd like to leave you with this quote that I found today. Let's do what we love and let's do lots of it. That was said by Marc Jacobs. And I encourage everyone to do lots of what they love. And thank you for tuning in tonight. Have an amazing night. And we will see Max Tucci next week on LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends. Good night, everyone.